If y'all were here during the service we had during the week, it was lighting candles. It was candlelight service, and I thought it went really well. And we all know that when you light a candle, it puts out a certain amount of life. But when you lift it up like that is when it really gets bright. And that's what we want to do this year. And I want to challenge every person in here to be a bright and shining light this year. I got a message that the Lord gave me a while back, and some of it I'm going to have to read because it's kind of lengthy, but I won't bore you with my reading. I'm going to try to get past that part. But I want you to know, I believe that John the Baptist was a precursor, I guess you can say, a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He said he was a voice of one crying in the wilderness to bring forth the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe in the days that we're in, if we listen to what John the Baptist said, we have to, as Christians, tune up our lives and make sure that we're doing everything that God really wants us to do. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming soon? How many of you know it could be today, tonight, or tomorrow at noon? That sounded like a song, don't it? But he's coming soon. And if he's coming, the Bible says that he's coming after a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's coming after a church that's ready and willing and open-armed and saying, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, come now, Lord Jesus. We want you to come and take us away. This world, I'm not trying to be a negative person, but I don't know if it'll ever get any better. If anything, it may get worse. But you know what? The worse it gets, the more darkness that's here, the brighter we can let our light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You can't blame it on the president. You can't blame it on the Congress or the representatives. It's because the people of God have let their lights go down. Because we haven't been a shining light. If we were a shining light before this world, we would see a lot of Christians running around with excitement and joy and all the things that go with that and knowing that they're blessed of God. And I want to give this lesson to you today about finding balance in our lives. How many of you know that you can get out of balance once in a while? You know, I mean, I'm getting at the age where I'm 71 now, and I was standing in the bathroom one day, and all at once I started, it's like, where are you going, boy? You know, I call it that old man shuffle. You that are over 70, y'all know what I'm talking about? You just kind of shimmy over there, and it's like, what is that going about? So I went out and bought me a dirt bike and started riding dirt bikes. And I'm going to tell you what, it helped me because it built up the core inside of me. And I've never done that since I went and started riding a motorcycle, because you're moving in the woods, you're twisting, you're turning, you're standing up, you're sitting down, you're jumping, you're going down, you do a lot of things, but it brings back all of your alertness. Amen? And now I feel like I'm 17. But I do know if I hit the ground, somebody's going to have to call 911 because I've fallen and I can't get up. But nevertheless, I find that we do that in our spiritual life sometimes. We just don't move and we don't do what God wants to do in our lives, and we begin to lose that core inside of us. Donna did a devotion one morning with the faculty here, and she did it and she talked about the core. If the core is weak inside of us, everything else is out of balance. It doesn't work like it's supposed to do. So if we're going to be balanced in Christianity, guess what the core of our life is? Jesus Christ. And we got to be sure that our core is very strong and do what God wants us to do. Now, they're going to put a picture up here in just a second, and that is not me and Janice. I told Ben, I said, just write Ben and Alyssa on there, but he wasn't too up on the date about doing that. But they're going to put it up here, and I'm going to show you how that sometimes we need one another to be balanced in our life. And it's going to come. Just wait with me. While we're waiting for it, here it is. Now, you that don't understand this, that tractor is going down the road, and it does not have a wheel on the left front. Do y'all see that? That's not a wheel. They're marking that to show you that only the spindle is sticking out there. And I did that on my land one time with my old tractor, and the wheel broke, the spindle broke, and it literally went over and dug into the ground and almost pitched me off. But I was never going to call Janice to get her to come sit on the fender. That is not a good thing to do. So what I'm telling you is it takes two people to balance that tractor. All he's doing is turning the steering wheel, but by and large, that woman is the one that's got control of it. Because if she got up and left, he's going to nose over on the pavement with that tractor. And sometimes we got to come to that place and realize that we need one another to balance ourselves out, to prod one another and say, hey, man, what's God doing in your life? How are you doing? Are you doing what God wants you to do? And if you're not, man, let me pray with you. Let's get together. Let's go get some lunch. Let's go get some coffee. Let's do something because I want to help bring some balance to your life. We all need balance in our lives. I got people around me that are honest and open with me, and they'll tell me things, and it's like, really? And I'll stop and think about it, and it's like, man, thank God I got people like that are really honest with me and tell me when I need to do something, because that is what brings balance back to me in my life. Malachi 3:1-4, I'm going to read this. It says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of his covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a light, and like a launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former days. See, God is going to do some great things in the last days, and we need to get ready for it, because he's going to shift us. He's going to shake us. He's going to purify us as gold and silver. And how many of you know, what does it take to purify gold and silver? What is the first thing that comes? Heat. If you don't have heat, it's not going to happen, because you got to go to some great temperatures. But when you go there, then it purifies that. It burns off all the dross. And I believe that the church is going to come to a place where God is so excited about coming to pick us up. I believe that with all my heart. Not only am I excited about going to meet him, I believe he is excited about coming to get us. And before he comes, he's going to get us ready as a bride. Because we're going to go and we're going to be purified. We're going to be holy people. People that know that we're the righteousness of God. And I'm saying that in a humble way, because it's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. It's what he did on the cross for you and I. In another scripture I want to tell you, this is out of Philippians, it says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? How many of you think he loved you when you first got saved? The first time you didn't even know, you were standing there trembling in your boots. You were scared to death about, what is this Jesus thing? What are these people excited about? What am I going to do? I know something is pounding within my chest. I know something is pulling on my heartstrings. And what do I do about it? And you know that first minute when you took that first step of faith and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. You know from that time on that God has never stopped loving you. And he's preparing more for you. And he'll bring you one step at a time until he gets us to where we need to go. Amen? So why should I fear when the Lord is on my side? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. All I got to do is stand there and say, Lord, do your work. Do what you need to do in my life, and I'll be the vessel that you want me to be. Amen? And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God forever. Amen? Now, I want to tell you this. I was reading about a light bulb the other day. And you know, in the old days, how many of you were born when they did not have electricity in houses? Anybody in here? Anybody else? No, just me and you, Mr. Paul. We lived in the same neck of the woods, too, by the way. But when I was growing up, and I'm not saying this is a sad story, but when I was growing up, we did not have electricity in our home. We lived in a little one-bedroom house, a wood frame house. In fact, the land that I bought recently is a mile from where I was born and raised, in Osaka, Mississippi. And if we had light, we had coil oil lights that we had to get out and light them, trim the wicks on them, and make sure that they were burning. We just didn't have electricity. And our bathroom was not in the house. It had its own little house. And it lived over by the edge of the woods. Now, some of y'all know what that is. And that's what we had. And we didn't know any better. And somebody came by one day and told us that we was poor. And we looked at one another like, we are poor? Why? Are we happy? We got food on the table. We do everything we need to do. And it's okay. But then somebody brought electricity to our house one day. And we started having light bulbs in our house. And then we bought a TV. And a lightning storm came by about a week after we got it. I was watching Dragnet, and it blew the TV completely apart. Just it exploded in the den, living room, whatever that room was. But it blew it up. And that's kind of the way I was born. But this is what I was reading recently about. With the invention of the light bulb, now human beings could extend the day and deny the night. Now human beings could break the natural rhythm of work, rest, and sleep. Now human beings could begin to destroy the framework of life and turn it into an eternal day with ironically, no time for family, no time for reading, no time to pray, no time for privacy, no time for silence, and no time for time. And one day we're going to all be held accountable because we all get 24 hours a day. I don't care who you are. That's an equal thing that we get, every one of us. And one day we're going to have to stand before God and tell Him, what did we do with our time? Did we use it rightly, or did we misuse it? Or did we waste it? We just let it flee away. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get older than I am, when I got about 60 years old, my watch, it picked up about 3 notches. And every year it gets about 2 notches higher. All you old people say amen. Let me see your hands. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Time flies when you're having fun. And you cannot go back and recover it. What we do with it, we have to do it now. Amen? Our time gets totally out of balance at time. Anybody agree with me with that? Let me see if I'm off scale here. Everybody, okay? We spend it all on friends, or we spend none of it there. We spend it all on work, or we spend it all on ourselves. We spend it all on the body, or we spend none on the body. We spend it all talking, or none of it talking. We wake up one day and realize we have not heard from old friends for years. We haven't been to see our aging relatives for months. We don't even know the names of our cousins. Does that ring a bell to anybody? You know, when I went back up and bought that land, and I go out there now and we stay at a little trailer, and I got my cousins. I got 3 first cousins that live east of me, and I got 3 of them that live west of me. And every time we go, Janice cooks jambalaya or something, we'll invite them over there. Some of them I have not seen in 50 years. But I know them. I know their names, but we call them and we get together. And we've been having a great time just sitting there, and I've been able to share the gospel with them. Hopefully get them saved this year is my goal, to get 3 of them saved. And they come, and we witness to them, and we feed them, and we do things with them. And we're going to get them to come back, and I'm going to get the group that was right here, the front porch, 9, maybe 10, 11, I don't know. If some of y'all want to join up with us, amen? But we're going to go back, and I'm going to get reacquainted with my family. They're my family. They're my blood, if you will. They're distant cousins, some of them, but yet they're blood relatives of ours. And I'm going to try to redeem that somewhat in if I can. And it says we hadn't sat down and wrote a personal letter for years. We haven't sat in a large easy chair and read a good book for ages. Life is flying by. And we need to do something about that. If we're out of balance, if that rings your bell, then let it ring. If you're not there, if you do these things, more power to you. I'm so proud of you for doing that. But if you're not, then we need to take time to start doing some things. Because if we don't, and I thank God every day for electricity. How many of you thank God for that? If you didn't, you'd be smothering in here. If we didn't have lights, we'd be in the dark in here. Thank God for it. But there's a balance for everything. There is a time where we need to turn the light off at night and go to bed. turn it on in the morning and get up to do things that we need to do. And I want to challenge you, if I can, to begin to let God do help you to balance your life. That we won't end up like this people with this tractor. When a wheel does pop off, that we'll have one another. We can make it work and we can see God do some great things. John the Baptist, he has an important message for us. We have to prepare for a time of self-examination. Self-examination. You know, the women take self-examinations of themselves to protect them, to do the things that they need to do as a woman. Men do too. We need to do that. We need to, you know, God gave us pain for a reason. When you feel pain, that is a signal going off. Something is wrong. That's a red light blinking. There's something wrong in this area. Go get it checked. Something is not right there. Something is out of balance. And that's what that's all about. And we need to listen to those signs. Watch for them. Talk to one another about those things and see. Now, don't get around somebody that's a hypochondriac and everything that they see, they got or they're going to get. And everything they can name you, every medicine that's known to mankind, they can tell you because they're on it. Don't get near those people, because if you do, you're going to get really depressed. But there are some people that watch things and they look and they pinpoint the situation and they make sure that it's taken care of. Amen? How many of you think that's fair? So we got to go through that kind of stuff. We need to set aside some time for our spiritual lives. Spiritual lives. That's our number one priority in our lives. That we need to check the barometer, if you will, on our spiritual lives to see where we are. Are we really doing what God wants us to do? He's commanded us to go forth, to preach the gospel, to win souls to Him, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to do all the things that He said to do. And are we even trying? I'm going to be honest with you. I've only been around one person that died, and I watched God bring that young lady right back to life, literally laying in mine and Carrie's hands in Romania when we were there. We watched her die. I mean, she turned as dark as this rug right here, but we prayed and we believed God, and it wasn't those King James prayers, "Lord, if thou wouldest raise her up from the dead." We didn't do that. We were crying. We were begging God, "God, please save this child. Let her come back." And as we was doing that, that young lady turned from that dark brown to blue to kind of ash white. And then she popped her eyes open. And what did she say, Carrie, right after that? "I'm hungry. I'm starving. I never heard something so beautiful in all my life." We went and got her everything we could get in the kitchen and let her have it. Amen? But we got to be busy about our Father's work. If we're not busy about the things that God told us to do, we're out of balance. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. I mean, y'all got to stay with me here, because what I'm telling you about is something that's going to balance your life. And when we do that, it's going to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Amen? All right. To look at all the ways that we're involved in everything. As John the Baptist says in Isaiah, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight the paths. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And we hear John's message as an invitation to spiritual reflection, just as we might clean our house in preparation for a special guest. And that's what we're doing. We're preparing because we do have a special guest that's coming. Jesus says He will come back. And I'm going to tell you what, I want to make sure not only my house is clean, my car is clean, my body is clean, my spirit man is clean, and I'm waiting with open arms. When He comes, I would not have to fear. I would just sit there and look at Him and know, because I've had a relationship all through these years. And He is the one that cleanses us. He is the one that empowers us. And when He comes, it won't be no great surprise. But how many of you know it will be a great surprise? Because when that light does come, it will knock us to our feet probably. But we won't be overwhelmed with it. We'll say, "Yes, this is the one. This is my beloved that I've been waiting for all these years. Yes, He's here, and He's here now." Now, I believe some of us are going to see those skies one day when they split open And we're going to see him. I just believe in my heart that's going to happen one day. If that clip don't kill me and I go early. But by the way, if we go early, you know what? We're still going to see him. It's still going to be the great awakening that we've been waiting for all these years. Now, the next one that gets us out of balance is our time was to be spent on listening to the Word of God and studying. As Christians, we're supposed to study the Word of God. We ought to be full of the Word of God, to be able to share with people at any time, share the good news with somebody, on making life better for others and community. Did not Jesus say, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength? And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the two greatest visions that we have on the face of the earth. Work is not that important. Doing what God said to do is important. And if you do that, then work will be fun. Being at home will be fun. Raising kids will be fun. And everything that you do, you'll be prosperous at doing what God said to do. It was public as well as private. It was private as well as public. See, we've left the public part of that out of there. A lot of Christians are afraid to death to go somewhere and to witness in the open or in the public, I put it that way. Because it's like, what do I say? I don't know. I don't know if God's going to come through. If I open up my mouth, He may not give me anything to say. And I haven't really memorized enough scriptures to go out there to do that. So I think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let somebody else go do that. Somebody else that's more... has more knowledge of the Word of God, or someone else has got that gift of boldness about being in somebody's face. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let somebody else go do that. Well, you see, you're robbing God, and you're out of balance. You see, we got to be in balance. How many have ever won one person to the Lord? I mean, you shared the gospel with them, and you saw that person get saved, and you maybe even had an opportunity to disciple that person for a while. Did it do anything to you? I know it did. It changed your life if you did that. Because when I used to be the most bashful person you could ever. I failed the eighth grade one time because I would not give a book report in front of the class. And the teacher said it. And I was doing great everything else, but she told me, she said, you don't give this book report, I'm going to see you next year. I said, see you then. And I did. I went right back to the same class. David went to the same school. You know what I'm talking about. Sitting the same desk, just younger people around me. Sorry. Years later, what am I doing here? What am I doing in here? You know why? Because I was so bashful, I would never open my mouth in front of someone. And I said, God, you need to change me with that. I need some boldness. I need to go and I need to share your word and not be afraid. And Jesus told me when I first got saved, He said, I want you to speak to their heart, not their eyes, not their face. But to their heart. And it was like, wow, what does that mean? And then after I began to study the Word of God, then I realized that every one of us has got a heart. And there's many hearts out there that are broken. There's many hearts out there that a heart is a rock. There's many hearts out there that have deafened their ears and they don't want to hear the gospel. So I started studying the Word of God, and it says those that win people to the Lord, they're wise when they do that, because every person is different. And God will give you wisdom for every person. The only thing we have to do is to approach that time and speak forth what's in our heart to them. And most of the time, they can identify with it, and you can lead them to the Lord. Amen? Isn't that simple? Isn't that a simple thing to do? But how do we get out of balance? And you look around and say, man, are you judging us? No, I'm not judging us. I'm judging myself. Because when I don't see fruit following me and I have not shared the gospel with someone else, I'm out of balance. And I wish you would tell me that when you don't see that in my life. I'm just that honest about it. But I'm going to tell you what, I got so bold after that, I got obnoxious to some of them. I mean, you know, you can turn people off after a while. I mean, when I first got saved, I had a fire burning in me and it was like, turn or burn, fly or fry. I mean, it was like, nothing in between there. It was just, bam, right in your face. God said, you're going to have to back off of that. And I did. And you know what? You can just sit there and listen to somebody for just about 5 minutes, maybe 10, and they will tell you exactly who they are, what their passions are, and they will tell you what they do with most of their time. And when that happens, you can say, you are out of balance because you do not have Jesus Christ in your life. And Jesus is the one that gives us the balance for life. Amen? Our tendency is to slump in front of a TV at the end of a day rather than to do something that truly feeds our soul. And if you're one of those, I know sometimes I go home and I am bone tired. I'm drained and I have zero energy. And when I do sit down in front of the TV and turn it on, and all you can watch is bad news. I do watch Fixer Upper. Janice makes me watch that because she must want me to build something. But I'll watch it, and I'll watch The Pioneer Woman. You know, by the time I get through with them two, I'm tired because now I've built something, and now I'm hungry. But sometimes I don't read my Bible like I should and do the things that I need to do. And it's important that we do that. We are to tell ourselves that things are just too hectic. That we really need is what we really need is play, not holy leisure. We will all do better tomorrow, but we don't. We will all say that the schedule is too crowded, too busy. You talk to people, and if they pop those words out first, oh, I'm busy, busy, busy. Oh, you just wouldn't believe how busy it is. It's just so hectic. Well, if you sit down with that person just about 5 minutes, they would probably end up telling you things, and it's like, you're busy about that? If that is what you're busy about, maybe you need to change your priorities, amen? And be gentle while you're doing that. We do nothing to change it, and the schedule gets worse, and the noise gets unrelenting. The fatigue goes deeper to the bone, and that's why you see more people that are depressed right now, because they're doing nothing. They're out of balance. They don't have joy. Saying that tomorrow will somehow be different. Who really wants to hear this? But is it true? Are our lives really out of balance? Do we need to confront this hard truth about ourselves? Yes, we do. And what I'm telling you is to take a self-examination and look in your own life. Be honest with yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord. We're fixing to start 21 days of prayer. And I'm going to tell you what, that's a great time to come and just get on your face in that fellowship before God and just pray. And say, God, show me. Am I out of balance? Am I productive like you've called me to be? Am I full of abundant life? Do I really have the joy of the Lord? Are things falling apart around me and I don't understand it? And every time I take one step forward, I end up going back to? Why do I do that, Lord? Show me. Show me where I won't do that. And it's all about our time, what we do. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. We can get our lives back into harmony and balance. And here's even better news. It doesn't call for extraordinary feats of spiritual gymnastics, super spiritual things to do on your to-do list. Rather, it's saying that you can and should rethink your whole list. People with a sense of balance see that life is a medley of multitude dimensions, each of which must be developed. They have become more than either their work or their play. Nothing consumes them, and everything taps something new in their life. I love to do new things. I've taught myself how to play guitar somewhat, keyboard somewhat, how to build things, how to cook things, how to do whatever. I enjoy doing that. That is part of life, and I found a great accomplishment in all of that. But every now and then, one of those kind of gets out of balance. It begins to take you too far in that direction. But I've learned how to stop and say, no, I like that. It's fun. It's helping my life. But I can't go there right now. I got to back off. I'll go to it once in a while, but I can't be consumed by what's going on in that area. And that's what most people do. They find something new, and they forget about everything else that's going on. And now their whole life is focused in that way. I'm speaking to some of you here now. They're focused in that way, and they need to stop focusing in that way and focus back on the Lord, and He will give you time for all of these avenues that's out there. Amen? They walk through. This is the people that have found balance. I want you to listen to this. They walk through life smelling the flowers. They have enough money, some play, good work, steady friends, spiritual growth, intellectual stimulation, and harmony with nature. They make time for every facet of life. they live a rhythm of life that includes the natural, the spiritual, the social, the productive, the physical, and the personal. They can tell you each day of the week what they have done in each area. They live life well. They are full of life in every area of their life. What a balance that is. And that's where I'm trying to get all of us to get to do that. It sounds like something many people are longing for these days. The hard truth is that for many of us, our lives are out of balance. If we are to prepare for the coming of the Lord, we need to spend time examining our lives and trying to get things in order. The painful truth is that life feels out of balance for many of us today. The promise and the hope, however, is that we can do something about it. We can change. Everybody say, we can change. I can change. Amen? We can do that if we find a rhythm of life that makes time for every facet of our lives. Through humility and prayer and study, we can move to a greater sense of wholeness. Now listen to these in order that I got them. In humility, prayer, and study, we can move to a greater sense of wholeness and harmony in our lives. The really amazing news is that even as we engage in the process of seeking wholeness and balance in our lives, we are also preparing for the greatest of all the spiritual gifts. And that is the gift of God coming into our lives once again. You know, when we start getting things in order, when we start getting things balanced in our lives, and we say, God, I want to be what you've made me to be. You didn't make me to just be a fly-by-night person or get in this and drop out, feel like a failure. Every time you start something new and you don't like it, you get out of it. Then you got that feeling of a failure in your life. You don't need to feel like that way. There's just some areas we don't need to go in. And if you don't fit there, don't go there, period. But the things that you do like, the giftings and the callings that's in your life, when you find those and you begin to fulfill that in your life, you're going to find the greatest of all, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this group that we got up here tonight, today, this is our Sunday night group that we meet. We've been doing that for a year. And by the way, we sound a lot better when we're unplugged than we do microphones. Some of us are not used to, what's that? That's you. Who's playing that? You are. You see, because when you're playing unplugged, it's just harmony. It's balanced out really good. Now, we'll learn more about electricity and stuff as we go. But the reason I'm saying that is because all of these people up here have a talent and a gift. And they want to use it for the glory of God. And that's why we have a Sunday night group. Because if you have a gift, if you have a word of exhortation or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, or you know how to sing, you know how to quote a poem, you know how to preach a little sermon, short sermon. I don't even preach up there. We just sing and we worship God, but we let everybody's gift come forth. And we have seen some miraculous things that happen up there just because we're balancing out our lives. We're balancing out a little different things. I don't play like John plays. John don't play like I play. I don't play like Jack plays. None of us plays like Phil plays. Because he plays his music with his tongue. We play ours with our hands. But when we get together and we hit it right, then all the singers and all the musicians come together and we harmonize. We're in balance, if you will, when that happens. And it makes some good music. Amen? Now, you don't have to give us a mercy clap about what we did, because we're singing to the Lord. Amen? And but we got to get together as people. And the more we're together and the more we do with one another, the better we get. The more practice you do with other Christians, the better the balance is in your life. But the sad part about it is everybody don't come to church. Everybody don't go to a meeting. Everybody don't do what you do. And you find a lot of Christians that are good Christians, they're just out of balance. And we got to be patient and we got to be loving to help one another to find their place of balance and let them excel in everything that God has blessed their lives with, that they will flourish and be everything that Jesus has called them for. Amen? If this sermon has touched you any way today, I want you to just stand up. You don't have to come down. Just stand up wherever you are. And we're going to pray. And I want you to really believe in your life And if you're here and you're out of balance and you want to be in balance, I definitely want you to get up because we want to pray for you. We want to pray because we want to be a thriving, healthy church that the gifts of the Holy Ghost is moving in our lives, that we're witnessing on a daily basis, that we're caring for the body, that we're doing everything that Jesus would do, that we as a church would do individually to help mankind. Amen? Father in heaven, we come again right now, Lord God, and I thank you for every person that's hearing my voice this morning, Lord God. And as we come, Lord God, to come and just ask of you today, Lord God, that you would direct our steps, Lord, in everything that we do. Lord, that we would come to that place and heed the words of John the Baptist, Lord God, that we would come to that place in our lives and begin to humbly look at our time with you, especially, Lord God, and our time with one another. And Lord, we listen to the good news, Lord, as you speak to us today, Lord, as you call us, Lord, because we know that you're sending forth your word in these days to prepare ye the way, prepare ye the way for the coming of the Lord. And Father, we thank you and we love you. And I ask, Lord God, to every person in this building, Lord, today, that you would change us, Lord God, from where we are. Let us find balance in our life, Lord God. And even as that silly picture was, Lord, about that tractor with that man and woman on it, Lord God, let us help one another, Lord God. Let us use us to balance out someone else's life, Lord. Because I do know one thing by looking at that picture. They were moving and they were going somewhere. And if we're going somewhere and we're moving, we need balance, Lord. And Father, we thank you today for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you to touch every person in here, Lord God. Heal them, body, soul, and spirit. Lord, those that have confusion in their lives, we break that right now, that stronghold. We command it to be gone. And Lord, those that are suffering from loss and depression today, we ask that you touch them and fill them, Lord God. Bring them back fresh and anew, Lord God. Let them come to that place to receive that balance, Lord. And Father, we thank you. We love you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, go and be balanced.